Greetings, dear friend, from the island of Maui. You know, every now and then, we meet a great spiritual soul. One who has felt a surge of joy within. And when we come face to face with such an individual, there's a feeling of great upliftment. In all of these spiritual souls, we notice something beautiful and rare. There is an acceptance, an inner vision that we are living now in a spiritual universe without opposite. And so these great spiritual souls are at peace. They've passed the point of having to prove anything to themselves or to anyone else. They're seeking nothing. They desire nothing. And they're not waiting for spirit to tell them where to go and what to do. They are already there. They are already doing it. And they are grateful for the privilege of being free to live in the invisible universe and to explore it. They rarely make an official announcement about it. They don't always retire to a monastery or to a nunnery. But while living in the world visibly, they have really renounced the world. They're not looking for fulfillment in this world. And they are not human beings who are seeking pleasure, who are seeking comfort, nor are they trying to prove to their families or their friends that they are spiritual beings. They are really not even looking for the approval of their families. They simply accept these things without seeking them. They accept the joys of this world as the added things. But these joys of the world are not the object of their search. Literally, they are spiritual travelers. And for them, every moment that they are not exploring the invisible spiritual universe is somewhat painful, almost unbearable, because their soul is unable to live and to survive in this world. They're only at home in the kingdom of spirit. And so they're really ever saying, Father, I am here in your invisible kingdom. Open my soul still further. Lead me. Direct me. Day by day. Further and further. Away from the physical concept of life, deeper and deeper into your creation, your spiritual universe. I seek no fruitage in the world. I need no visible signs of your presence. I already have had hundreds of those signs. I need no further proof that you are the one and only being. I seek nothing, only the continued awareness of your presence and the capacity to know you better every moment that I stand here in your invisible kingdom. I'm very happy that we have students like that in the work with us. They are going to attain the goals we set at the beginning of this year, and I'd like to remind you about those goals. You may recall in January that the goals we set for this year are to be ready to step beyond, to convert from form to essence, to manifest the Divine Presence daily as a continuing permanent dispensation, to survive independent of physical body, and to move consciously in the unconditioned universe. Those remain our goals. In the past 6 months, we have been endeavoring to honor the Son and to live in the essence of the One Being as our being. Today we move into the unconditioned universe a degree further, and we refine our knowledge of what reality is. We are here today to banish, to exterminate, to eradicate the fuzziness of human thought. To discriminate between truth and half-truth. And not to be swayed by glittering promises of this world. That's the wind you hear occasionally. It's listening today. The Hawaii is vibrant with sunshine and the waters are billowing up and the wind is pushing them and the trees are doing a dance right outside the window here. And now we have a little fellow traveler in the sky. You won't feel the wind where you are. You will hear it. The wind you feel will be the invisible spirit. Half-truth is so dangerous that it can mislead us, take us into areas where we're so overly confident that we assume we have a power, a dominion, an awareness, and then to our dismay, the floor isn't there when we put our foot down. I know that if a surgeon working on the heart has not kept pace with developments in the last quarter century, he's apt to find a patient is not recovering from an operation. And I know if you go to a lawyer who hasn't kept pace with the new laws, new legal procedures over the past quarter century, you're apt to wake up on the wrong side of the case. So it is in our work, the ability to stay in spirit and to explore eliminates the soft edges of human thought, the half-truths. And one of the main half-truths we're going to overcome today is our belief that we can continue to live as human beings in the flow of time. I don't care how high you think you are spiritually. As long as you continue in the flow of time, you're in a half-truth. And it's going to hit you in the face. And it's my job to see that it doesn't. A little knowledge can almost be worse than no knowledge at all. And if we are going to walk the Christ path, it's necessary to realize that a half-truth is just like a half-Christ or a half-God. There isn't any such thing. In spirit, there's no half-truth. The Son of God is your name. The Son of God is not spirit and human. You may not like it, but then again, if you're one of those dear souls who lives in the invisible universe of spirit, you do like it. You wouldn't have it any other way. The essence of God is your name. You cannot be flesh and essence. Or you are living in a half-truth. And if you've been looking for fruitage, you're going to get half a fruit. One side good and one side bad, and you're going to wonder why. The kingdom of God belongs only to the pure at heart. And so today we've got to walk across the waters. I mean the upper waters of the higher firmament. We've got to move into the promised land. Into that invisible so-called island in the sky. And you may enter because I know in your heart of hearts you are the pure at heart. So come. We are invited to sup at the table of Christ. Ours is the eternal kingdom of now. The human race doesn't know about it. No creature who lives in time knows about it. But for you and I, following the uncompromising truth of Christ, the only place we can live daily and now without ceasing is in the eternal kingdom of now. I ask you to close your eyes. To know that the presence of God never changes, never departs, never varies, is never defiled by anything that happens in the so-called external world of the senses. You are already an inhabitant of eternity. You do not live in this world, but a shadow of your form appears to be in this world. And I know you do not live in this world because anything less than God is an illusion. Anything finite, limited, temporary, destructive, anything evil, anything unlike God has no substance And so it exists only as a mental shadow. You and I, living in the one spiritual universe, worship the presence of God. We worship the allness of spirit. And although the discipline is difficult, we ever endeavor to be faithful to the allness of spirit. And that fidelity involves accepting no opposite to spirit, no material opposite. Are we together on this now? We do not acknowledge the reality of matter, of evil matter, or of good matter. But sacredly, unceasingly, to the best of our capacity, we abide in the one essence, the infinite essence, which never becomes matter. It never receives a material object within itself. It never becomes less than perfect. It is always the one spiritual perfect presence and the only presence, regardless of any event that happens in the quote external unquote world, and regardless of any form or degree of pain or suffering or threat that may confront us at any time. We are spiritual travelers, and we do not bow down to Baal. We are not divided, nor do we divide our loyalty. We do not deny our present identity. We do not deny our eternal identity. We do not deny ourselves to be the only presence that there can be, the one infinite essence. And we see ourselves invisibly everywhere as that one and only essence. Now the half-truth is the tendency to accept evil as a something that is present to be overcome. And, of course, it's a very seemingly real presence to be overcome, as we all know. But that is because we have not come to the one basic truth about it. Where is this evil that we see? I know you've said it's mortal mind. Fine, that's true. But you still have to fight it, don't you? You say it's a mental illusion, but you still have to fight it, don't you? Why? Because you can't dismiss it with a statement. Mortal mind. The white kuru. Oh, these are wonderful phrases. True ones. And that other story about the snake and the rope? Marvelous. But when you have a pain in the back, you can't say, oh, the snake is only a rope. All you can think of is that pain in the back. When the rent is due and isn't there. When someone in the family is sick. Oh, a million things. And especially around the middle of April. When Uncle Sam says, I'm sorry, but there's a slight error on this form here. Need I go on? Where is the evil? Mankind is imprisoned in it, isn't it? You see it everywhere. Now, how then are we going to maintain spiritual integrity in the face and the threat of that evil? Oh, just look around, everywhere, all over the European scene, the Eastern scene, the African scene. It's shattering. But you are vital. Because who but you can know the nature of evil? Which is present, I ask you, the evil or God? You know what the world thinks. Half the world thinks both are present, and the other half thinks the evil is present. Who thinks only God is present? Some saints who have departed from this world. What about these forms walking back and forth across the globe? How many of them are standing in the truth that only God is present? That's why you are vital. You should know that in the presence of God, evil is impossible. You should know that your God is present. And your God is omnipotent and therefore not permitting evil. And finally, you should know that when you choose God as present, you also know instinctively, automatically, and spiritually that evil therefore is not present. Even for you and I, as we continue our studies, it's very difficult, sometimes superhuman, to make the choice. When our dear one is sick, we're not thinking but God is present. When children are starving, we're not thinking but God is present. And Peter, if you recall, when he tried to heal the epileptic, he wasn't thinking, but God is present. And so he didn't heal the epileptic. Because the minute you accept the presence of the problem, you accept the absence of God. So where is the evil? It's in your belief, isn't it? You believe it's there. And why do you believe it's there? Because instinctively you have forgotten or do not believe at that moment that God is there. In the absence of God in your consciousness, the evil is there. In the presence of God in your consciousness, the evil is not there. And so when you are not living in the knowledge that your essence is the presence of God, you don't only have the problem of evil out there. You have another problem. You have both your patient and your own false human sense of self. So let's nail it down. One, God is always present. Two, God is always maintaining the perfection of that presence, even while people all around you may seem to be suffering. And today we're going to discover another way to change that false picture. Look now carefully into your own consciousness and ask yourself, where is the evil? We've already identified it as being in our mind, but is that the whole truth? Where is this problem, this suffering, this lack? Where is this affliction? Where is this sudden crisis? Where is this world confusion? Are you ready? Remember the answer. All evil on this entire earth is in the flow of time. In the flow of time which traps the five senses of every man and every woman and every child. The silent, invisible, moving platform of time. This is the primary illusion that has tricked you and every man, woman, and child out of their own perfection. All suffering on earth occurs on the moving platform of time. Individuals in pain, struggling to attain vast catastrophes, epidemics, earthquakes, diseases, famine, drought, war. Where are they? All are in the flow of form on the illusory carpet of time. Once you unconsciously accept the time flow, naturally you accept the form flow within the time flow. And it's this double deception that eventually moves even you right off the platform of time into nothingness. Why do these catastrophes continue in time? Clearly, because God does not function in time. It's quite that simple. There's a bridge over there and it blows up. And over there there's a bank and it's bombed. Presidents are assassinated. Planes are hijacked. Where's God? Complete environments are contaminated. Dope addicts are running wild. The percentage of man's income now given over to weapons of war is astronomical. What is God doing about it? Zero. And why? Because it's happening in time. God does not function in time. And why does God not function in time? Because time is an illusion. Again, ask yourself which is present, God or the evils of this world? God or sickness? God or destruction? God or human death? The answer is God is present. And nothing else can be present because God is all. Now then, please identify the double enemy. The flow of form within the flow of time. Because it can never express the perfection of divine unity. It can never express infinity or eternality. It can never express reality. And once you agree that everything inside time is illusion, you have accepted the omnipresence of God. And today of all days, because you are so vital in the work of truth on earth, I ask you to believe or at least to consider and to meditate upon the truth that automatically follows from all that has been said. Nothing in time is alive. If you believe anything in time is alive, you're still in the half-truth. So we'll be still at this moment and just dwell with that thought. Even if we have to squirm a little bit, and I am asking you to take that thought into many of your meditations in the month of July, until something in you can agree that nothing that happens in time is alive, because God is permitting no evil, no death, no destruction, no sickness, no suffering. They are all the illusory form flow in the illusory time flow. And if you can agree with that, you have made a stride greater than 99.9% of all the inhabitants of this that we call Earth. All human life on the moving platform of time is illusion. It's not a new thought. Plato said it. Jesus Christ said it. Paul said it. Moses said it. Joel Goldsmith said it. Lao Tzu said it. You can go on and on, but nobody listened. Nobody wanted to hear it. And as a consequence, very few came to the realization that in the time flow, civilization is imprisoned and cannot be aware even of the will of God, cannot be protected by God, and is even struggling to find the God who can never enter time where man thinks he is. That's why religion has said that God punishes. Religion can't face the fact that evil and God are both in the same world, and so religion has to find some excuse for the evil. And in doing so, it has really made God impotent. Instead of admitting God doesn't stop it, and therefore we must admit God is impotent, it said God is sending the evil to punish us. And that's embarrassing, to know that 2 billion people on earth have to listen to that hogwash, because there's no one there to tell them the simple truth. Occasionally someone does come along who can, but for some reason or other is so duty-bound to the church that they have to hide. And then when they're dead, maybe a book will come out, like Pierre de Chardin. An impotent God who permits evil is no God. There cannot be such a thing. We know from the mystics, we know from our infinite way study, that on the wheel of time, which is a false wheel, All human solutions lack divine power, and they never attain more than a partial, temporary success. That's why the conflicts continue and the disasters are always here and around the corner. And life daily slips away from every person walking the globe. Our greatest triumphs become shadows, memories, just a remnant of yesterday's glory. Even the great leaders of government, science, religion, industry, and the arts, they're all gliding by right now on the moving platform of time. They think they're solving great issues, but God never placed those issues on earth. They are unaware of the simple truth that on the flow of time, they are nothing more than atomic robots. And even the illusion of being an atomic robot will be shattered. And tomorrow there'll just be a few lines of type in the obituary page of a magazine or a newspaper. There is no place to go in time. One day you're writing a great concerto. The next day, they're playing it at your funeral. Or you're building a great geodesic dome. The next day they bury you under it. On one page of your life, you're a great hero. First man in the world to make a solo flight over the Atlantic Ocean. But turn a few pages and there you are. Lung cancer clips your wings and it's all over. This transient human life is not God's scene or God's kingdom. It's a slow, methodical form of suicide. And mankind submits to it because the human mind is locked in time, unaware that it is a prisoner in time, and continues within that prison, trying to find what it cannot find in time. Now you, as a student of spiritual truth, especially of an infinite way understanding of spiritual truth, how can you be locked in time? How can you be locked in the illusion of time? When the very word infinite says there is no such thing as a minute, a day, an hour. So let's stop the flow of time right now. Look out at that flow of forms called the world. Pull time out of it. Just drop it away. There is no time out there. And once you take time away, what's going to hold those pieces together? Nothing. They'll all crumble because they're separate pieces. The whole changing universe is revealed as a nothingness. It's a slow motion parade of shadows across the mind of man. No meaning, no substance, no continuity, no law. Time is a distorted shadow of eternity. Where the world consciousness meets eternity, the illusion of time appears. And when your infant form appears in the illusion of time, we call it birth. And having made that error, we now call the interval between your entry into the illusion of time and your exit from it, we call that your life. We even go to the extreme of saying God made that life, in spite of the innumerable difficulties, afflictions, and terrors that enter into that life of practically everyone on earth. No, that's not your life. Thank heaven. Your life is spirit. And there's a dawn now of a new awareness of that life. There's the dawn of a new civilization that has already begun. With the spiritual understanding that this ever-dying world and the ever-dying man are not the creation of God. We're not helpless. We're not atomic robots who must stand on this illusory platform of time. We can step out of it. We can step out of the shadows of form in that time flow. We can step now right into our timeless substance. And once you know that that's the only direction you can go, you come face to face with the great choice that has been offered to us by the Christ message. Inside time, you die. Outside time, you live. And you have the right and the opportunity to make that choice. You can make that decision consciously. Because I believe that is definitely the hidden message in the entire Christ teaching. When Christ says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," you say, "Well, fine. Where is it? Where is this kingdom of God?" Is it here? In the world? Or somewhere else? "Oh, no. My kingdom," says the Christ, "is not of this world. But this world is in time." Then where is the kingdom of God? Ah, we have an answer, don't we? The kingdom of God is outside time. This world is inside time. The kingdom of God is outside time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Outside time. And all things will be added unto you. Why did it take us so many thousands of illusory years to come to that conclusion? The kingdom of God is here now, outside time. And another conclusion we may make is this. The Christ, which provided such a startling statement, such a startling pathway for mankind, such an irresistible attainment to seek the kingdom of God, as if it could be done, my heavens, certainly that same Christ must have provided a method. And did. Step out of the godless world of time into the divine kingdom of timelessness. And there you are. Just as you step out of time into timelessness, you step out of sickness into perfection. Out of catastrophes, disasters, and diseases. Do you believe it? Meditate upon it a moment. We'll see if we can understand more about it. We are in the nowness of God. God. Now. Eternity. Now. Infinity. Now. Always. Now. What about you? Do you see? You are always now. The substance of you is now. And that shadow of your substance on the moving platform of time is not you, it is the false sense of you. It is a shadow of your now self moving on the platform of time. And in that shadow, moving on the platform of time, is a false human ego to which the shadow was born into and will be born out of when it runs out of time. You never were the shadow you thought you were, because you never were in time. You are now, because God is now. You are the substance now. And the difference between the shadow and the substance is the difference between death and life. We are coming very close to the technique, the method, which will enable us to defeat the illusion of time and all of the falsities that it presents to our consciousness. In time, in form, in the world, you have always been time-centered. Seek ye first the kingdom outside time is the command to be now-centered. Now is the kingdom. When you find your now center, you will discover that you are life that can never die. Life that can never be afflicted. And I mean a now center that is not transient, a now center that is eternally now. It's like the lens on a camera, a focus point through which you view everything. You view everything and understand everything through your now center. Because it is always perfectly on target, always in perfect focus. Something your time-centered consciousness never could be. And it is through this now consciousness, this now center, that the Lord builds the house. It is through your now center that the Holy Ghost lives your life. It is through the now center that you stop drifting in time. And that's the end of all the squandering of our life force. In your now center, you do not make the mistake of trying to find happiness and security and fulfillment in the shadows of time. I tell you, this now center is the promised land. With it, you will do what mankind has failed to do. You will walk consciously in the kingdom of God, and not after you die, and not in the musty corridors of a million tomorrows, but now. Now-centered is life-centered. In your now center, all the dead illusions of time lose their power. They scatter like chaff in the wind. Now I touch a million tomorrows. Now I am the light, even before it appears to man. In the time flow and the form flow, seeming to be rivers and mountains and trees. Now, I am the soundless sound, before it becomes a symphony of the spheres. I am before Abraham now, I am eternity now, before man sees time. Now I am divine joy, before it appears to man as a smile on the lips of a child. Do you feel your nowness? Isn't that a different now than man has known? We say now in a human sense, but we're only speaking of this minute, which becomes yesterday's minute. It's a passing now. And behind that passing now has always been the eternal now, the real now. Your now center lets passing time go by as a nothingness. Man has missed it because the real now, the eternal now, which is ever present, is above human thought. It's above human subconscious thought. It's above the human mind. It's above the world mind. To man, now is just a word. It's a thought. But to you, now is the kingdom of God. Now is the foundation of your Christ consciousness. Now is the habitation of the Son of God, the living essence. Develop that now consciousness. And you will discover that it is really the river of eternal life. In it flows the grace, the power, the dominion. The infinite joy, the eternal substance itself, expressing the perfect will of God throughout your existence. Many surprises are in store for you as you develop this now consciousness. Suddenly, one of the great secrets of the Bible is going to crash across your consciousness like a bombshell. And I hope I may mention it today. Oh, I've alluded to it before. But today we are not accepting half-truth. Not even a whisper of half-truth. And so you must know that time is even more than an illusion. Human life is more than an illusion. All human life in time is the replay of an illusion. I hope you can understand what I'm trying to say. Your total human life was finished before you were born. Every action that you've made since birth was recorded. Every word, every thought, what you'd say, do, and think for your entire lifespan was already settled. Even including the time of your death and the manner of that death. Right now, it's in the replay. And it contains all your so-called future sufferings and failures and triumphs and successes. Because they were all recorded when the world began. It's like a delayed broadcast. It's all waiting now to come into your false presence, to enter your sense perception, to become your human experience, and then to pass into yesterday. It's not your life at all. It's nothing more than your sense replay of the world mind. And you're not in one stitch of it. The entire form flow in the time flow has no essence. Do you want to know what it really is? It's the most beautiful tool ever invented. It's a training program for your soul. As these form pictures flow across your mind, they are presenting to your soul the precise level of your present consciousness. And that's to train your soul, to teach your soul. Your soul learns from this time flow. And your soul must do what Christ showed us to do. Your soul looks out at the time flow as it comes through your sense-minded consciousness and makes adjustments. If you do not permit your soul to do this, you're not in on the training program. You're mistaking it as your life instead of a training program for your soul. I could stop this tape recorder. I could re-record over the words. So can your soul re-record over the time flow. Every healing Jesus did was that. Stop the tape recorder. What happens? Now run it back a little and talk into it again. There's a new message. Suppose there's a suffering, an affliction, or a catastrophe, or some kind of epidemic, or whatever, some lack or limitation. Your soul sees this as an outpicturing of your false consciousness. Your soul stops the tape recorder, the replay in time. And what does it do? Well, your soul goes to now. And now makes the adjustment on the flow of time. We call it a healing. It's a soul adjustment. Call it a spiritual transfusion if you like. Every soul adjustment made by Christ was appearing to us as a healing. Flow of time was vetoed, the correction was made, and then the recorder was put in motion again with all its visual pictures. This instant replay is part of the training program of your soul. And unless you learn this, and learn to go to the now, you're missing out on one of the greatest opportunities that has ever been presented to mankind.